Hi, I'm Hugh Weber. Welcome to the Potluck Society. Each week, in partnership with South Dakota Public Broadcasting, we come together to celebrate the stories of ordinary people building extraordinary communities. This week, we sat down with a leader from South Dakota's cycling community. We thought we'd be talking about bicycles, but instead spent a good portion of time talking about
Monday meatloaf mountain bikes.
The road may be bumpy at times, but I'm sure you'll enjoy. I know I did.
Before I really got into bikes, I was basically in my mom's stomach for 9 months. So essentially born, I think, on a bike. The only time that's ever happened.
It was clear from the start that my conversation with Chad Picard was going to need some ground rules.
Okay. So I edit heavily, meaning that
becomes... This is the Instagram of radio, folks.
For over 30 years, Chad has been involved in the South Dakota bicycling scene. It didn't take much to get him to talk about where his love for bicycling came from.
Both my parents were teachers, so you know, fairly frugal. Back then, it wasn't... They wouldn't load us in the car and drive us across town to see a friend for a day. For them, that meant multiple trips, and that just was no interest to them. And I remember it as the bicycle truly was a tool for freedom.
I'm sorry, but that's an extraordinary statement. Please continue, Chad.
Instead of just being able to walk to a friend's house, maybe on the same block or a block away, now we could go to the city limits. I mean, we could go, kind of lived in the central part of town. We could pedal out to Tut Hill area. We could go, we'd actually bike to Brandon once we're in high school age. But we just biked all over. The bike was our transportation, friend's house. We actually had paper routes, so it was a tool for us to make some money. And we used our bikes to deliver the papers. We'd pedal to church, we'd pedal to school. We were those goofy kids that would show up wearing spandex shorts and a t-shirt on, you know, to Wednesday night church. It was gross, but it's what we wore.
The idea of anyone in church in spandex is a little disturbing, but there's also something nostalgic about the idea of the bicycle and the role it played in so many of our childhoods.
I mean, for a long time, it was a novelty, you know. As kids, we were known, my brother and I were known as the kids that bike, the two twins that bike to school. I mean, it's so different. It's almost like, I feel like a lot of people view it as a step back in time, like, oh, you don't drive a car? What, you DUI? What's your story? You know, divorce and...
Now, Chad has a joke for every one of his stories, but his professional career in the cycling community goes back to his teens.
In all seriousness, though, started working at a bike store in town at about the age of 14. It was a bike store called The Bike Barn. And that'll forever be burned into my memory as like the greatest experience ever, working with a group of people, a couple guys and a gal, just learning about bikes and how they work and how they operate and why they're such a great tool for individuals.
With abundant bike shops and an incredible trail system, Sioux Falls is seen as a premier cycling community today, but it wasn't always that way.
We had the bike trail starting in, I think, 75, and it was a loop around the city that almost went all the way around the city for a long time. So there was some gravel portions of it that weren't finished. And my personal view was that the view of that trail was it was for cyclists to get from A to B. Even though it's not built like a arterial road or anything like that, but that's the way the city viewed it. They didn't view it as a place to, you know, to leisurely ride and see the beautiful parks we have. And so they never really took it very seriously until, you know, maybe even 4 or 5 years ago. And since then, I mean, you go on the trail on the weekends and you got a zipper merge. it's busy and it's great and we do a lot of rentals, so we get a lot of communications from people traveling and they just love it. 20 miles is the loop and no stop signs. You're not crossing any traffic except for a few spots where it's traffic coming into parks. So it really is a jewel to our city.
But it wasn't the bike trails or even the freedom of the bicycle that led Chad to buy Spoken Sport in 2001. It was something a little more personal.
It's so I can get filthy rich. Not just like basic rich, not like, you know, a couple TVs and a couple cars, but like three or four TVs. And yeah, so filthy rich. I don't know anybody in the bike industry getting rich, for starters, but
he wasn't finished yet.
I get 9 hours of sleep a night. I haven't worked a full week in years.
Okay. Now he's ready to get serious.
So to start with, I mean, everybody that works here, myself included, I mean, we truly believe that the bike itself has a lot to offer any individual, whether it's stress relief, recreation, whether it's, you know, specific fitness, you know, they want to race, you know, whether they just want to sightsee. Whether they want it as a distraction from kids or a distraction for their kids. We truly believe that that is an asset to have in your garage, you know, a bike. And with that said, you know, it's not like we're, I mean, people need vacuum cleaners, but vacuum cleaners just kind of clean your house. But a bike can offer you so much more. And so owning a bike store and being able to present that to people or to provide that as an opportunity, it makes us really happy.
But Chad's not just in it for the sale. He feels a responsibility.
There's to give someone a product and just say, go use it, I feel is somewhat irresponsible, especially if they're new to it. Most people, when they start something new, they're fairly insecure. You know, pick your hobby. You know, if they're going to play soccer, if they're going to play, if they're going to show up to even just like a dinner party, they're going to be nervous.
Chad and his team travel all over the region at great expense to continue this support well beyond the bike shop.
One of the big events we do is RASDAQ. It's right across South Dakota. It is a phenomenal event. The people that put it on give all the money back to the communities they go through, which means air conditioners in youth centers in 100-degree weather and awesome stuff like that. But there are a lot of people that's a big ride. And although they know they can ride 70 miles in a day, they're not sure if they can do it day after day. So we support that heavily with mechanical stuff. I mean, we get all sorts of questions on that ride. You know, my back hurts, my neck hurts, what can I do about it? And it's adjustments to bikes and it's adjustments to the technique that they're using. And it gives them more security. They're comfortable. They need that person standing behind them saying, yes, you're doing it right, or let's tweak that just a little bit and do it again and do some correctional things. But that, I love the idea of that just encouragement and reassurance from someone that knows. And I think that's what a lot of people want. In our internet age, the information age, we have so much access to information, but we don't have that one-on-one or even one-on-10 or just that person in the room to say, yes, that is right. Just that reinforcement is a good thing. So that's why the involvement. And we certainly know that the more that people ride, the more they're going to need stuff. So it works as a circle. I mean, we need each other.
But it's not just a matter of support. Chad and his team love to celebrate with their customers.
You know, we love hearing the stories. You know, someone bought a bike. You know, maybe they wanted to accomplish a 100-mile ride. And they did it. And they come back and they tell us about it. And to see the look on their face, you know, it quickly becomes the same look on our face, that amazement and wonderment that, oh my gosh, this person started from here and went to here and they succeeded and they're looking for the next goal. And that next goal might not be 100 miles. It might be just they want to bike to Brandon. It might be they want to bike the whole loop of the bike trail. It may be they want to go from, you know, they want to get on a big person bike, you know, riding a balance bike and they want to ride on something with pedals with their mom and dad. So, and I mean, even over the years, like some of the stories that are so amazing, you know, we had a gal come in. She was probably, she was in her 60s and she had never ridden a bike. She'd ridden on a tandem. She's an adult. She has no balance problems. And she's an amazing cook. I've had her food. But to see her pedal away from the store on a bike on her own with no assistance, I mean, that's at the age of 60. And then, and she didn't want to stop there. It wasn't just, I want to be able to pedal a bike. It was, I'm going to start doing some touring or some longer rides. And she did it. And it's, I mean, that stuff is awesome.
I just love this idea of Chad and his team pumping their fist with excitement when someone they've sold a bike to accomplishes a personal goal. But Chad sees Spoken Sport as just one part of a broader community.
The bike community is a very supportive community. And I think that's not uncommon than, you know, street riders or motorcyclists or anything like that. You know, when you have a common love and those people come together, it creates community.
Chad uses our common love of coffee to illustrate his point.
You may know this about me. I've been in a coffee shop or two, and you'll sit at coffee and there'll be someone that walks in every day and you will not say a word to them. You know, every day, 9 o'clock, they grab their coffee, they sit there, they read their paper, answer emails, and then they leave. Next day, same thing over. Same coffee, same, you know, salted chocolate chip cookie or whatever. Never say a word to them. You're at Applebee's that night. Hey, I didn't see you at Cafe this morning. And all of a sudden, you're like instant friends. And so it's almost the community, cycling community is almost like that. I mean, it's like the bike is the gateway to conversation. It's the common denominator. And it seems like cyclists really are curious, and maybe it's that curiosity, they're curious because they want to explore and they want to see parts of the world in other ways than in a car. It's that curiosity that keeps them in community. Like, oh, you bike? Awesome. Let's talk about that. I'm curious about that. And I think that's what, because there's so many branches to that bike tree, and we're all curious about what branch everybody's on and unique places they've gone and done and seen, and that's what keeps us talking to each other about it.
Several times in our conversation, Chad rattled off all of the various branches of the biking tree.
There's road biking, there's gravel riding, there's you know, BMX racing, there's freestyle, there's, you know, even Strider bikes, the balance bikes for kids.
This all struck me as a pretty significant customer service challenge.
It is a broad spectrum, and the first thing is we need to experience some of that ourselves. And our staff that we have now, we have like 100 years worth of experience here right now.
That's right. He said 100 years of experience, most over 10 years, several over 20, and even a couple at 30 years. Extraordinary.
And so we've experienced a lot of that ourselves. So that's number one, and that's an asset for us. Secondly is that community that you're talking about. It's talking to people. There's forums and we're part of such a big network with different bike stores and relationships with other bike stores that when we do get stumped, we can make a phone call or an email and get advice from someone. We've got some great customers too that we can say, hey, you've been in this situation before. How did you, you know, did we help you get through it? Or was there something that happened that helped you get through it? Was there a trick or a tool or something? You know, how did you do that? So we've got great resources. And so we just tap into those. And we're not, I tell my customers or my employees actually when they first work here, we are not everything to everybody. We can't do that. We'd like to, but we can't. And we also don't know all the answers. But we have access to so many great resources that we can find the answers. And that really helps. It's not a forum post by some faceless individual. It's, you know, face to face. Hey, I have a customer that's struggling with this. Any ideas or any advice? And that's, you know, the advice we get is from kids on balance bikes to adaptive bikes for kids that have very limited mobility or even adults as well, to people competing on a, maybe not quite a professional level, but pretty close, to distance riders, endurance riders, gravel riders, triathletes, I mean, just everything.
Now, we haven't spoken directly to something that is a concern for all specialty shops in our region. How does Chad speak to people to convince them to spend their dollars locally?
We're in an information age, and we tend to pull up that Google an awful lot to find answers to questions, and we are getting answers from people that we don't know, people that don't have a vested interest in our own growth. And so what we get from specialty retail is you have someone that's on your side wanting to improve you, wanting you to be able to take the next step. There's a cost to it. I'm a firm believer in you get what you pay for. In fact, just yesterday I had a client bought a bike online, and things can look really fancy online. We're all guilty of it. And he bought a bike that thought would fit his needs, and he was disappointed in it. Wasn't a great fit. Wasn't as durable as he thought. And so the advantage of having that bike store is having someone that you can go back to and you can work through something. Someone that has that you can share your goals with, and they can get you there. And if they do it right, I mean, they should be able to get you there and create a lifelong customer. Those relationships are, we love them. I mean, we love seeing someone go from an entry level bike, getting just more experienced and not necessarily racing, but just enjoying cycling more. I mean, it's very rewarding for us, and we see it as being rewarding for our clients as well.
And after all, enjoying cycling is what this is all about, isn't it? I hear so much joy in the way Chad shares the stories, and especially this little aside where he talks about the role of food, perhaps even potlucks, in the cycling community.
There's a lot of, microbreweries involved, rides to microbreweries and food. And yesterday we had we ended a ride with champagne, and this was a mountain bike ride. We ended with champagne and crackers and cheese, and because it was the last day of the Tour de France, and we needed to have our champagne and cheese and crackers. And but just that, and they even say if you're going to do a bike ride, put a food name in the bike ride, and you'll get more people, or a beer name or something. And it's true. We could do the coolest mountain bike ride every week, but if we add brat to it, or donut, or cronut, or meatloaf, I mean, we're going to get a lot more people. And it's true. We see it. We have the metrics to prove that. It's crazy.
Donuts and meatloaf aside, as we were wrapping up, I asked Chad what I thought was a fairly simple question. What is your favorite ride? He took some time and then offered this.
It's not a community one. It's one by myself. But it's from my house to downtown on the bike trail with a couple inches of snow on the ground, and it's snowing. And it's seeing, that familiarity is there, but it's all white. But it's so quiet, and you don't hear anything except the crunch of your tires, and you feel that as well. And it's such a peaceful thing. It's freedom. I mean, it's just being able to feel the wind against you as you're pedaling, or the heat maybe, and feeling the road underneath a bike, and then being able to share it with someone. And maybe it's a windy road with a little bit of a downhill, and then just looking at your fellow cyclist and saying, "Wow, man, that was fun. Let's go do it again."
Even after 30 years, Chad retains that childlike wonder about riding his bike around a neighborhood, looking at it with a different perspective and a different field of view. Our action antidote for this week is to get outside, look around, crawl down low, run fast, ride your bicycle slow, observe the things around you, and find something that fills you with wonder. Then capture a photo or write it down and share it with the world. Hashtag it Potluck Society, and that's it. You did it. Thanks this week to Kara Hetland and the team at South Dakota Public Broadcasting. Thanks to Chris Heppola and Eric Struve for our music. And most importantly, thanks to you for listening to the stories of ordinary people that we all can agree are extraordinary. If you have recommendations for future people to profile or interview, please feel free to send them to hugh@hughweber.com. It has been great seeing you here at the Potluck Society. I do hope we'll see you soon. And as always, don't forget to bring an idea to pass.